Bonjour, bonjour, bonjour. Welcome to the SBS Cycling Podcast. I'm Christophe Malin, I'm your host. And in the second part of this podcast, we'll have the wonderful Georgie Howe with us, joining us. But that's in the second part of the podcast. And I'm joined by the divine Grace Brown. How are you, Grace?
Oh, divine. What divine. An introduction.
Yeah. I used to give all these words to Maka, but he's cycling around somewhere in Italy. So
yeah, he doesn't.
There you go.
Hasn't earned it, really, has he?
No, absolutely. You're very, very fast, very quickly taking his crown, you know. First and foremost, first question, how do you feel about this week of the World Championship? And you said it openly in your unclipped with us on Monday, you are not the reigning world champion anymore. But yeah. How was this for you this week? And let's talk about it as well. Marion Rosser, as the successor of you, it's quite good. It's a good succession, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird one, I think. I've felt a little bit more like with the world championships that, I don't know, there's something like mystical, exciting about it. And I think it's like the first race where I've been like, I'm sort of missing being there a little bit.
And did you feel a page has turned or was turning that weekend?
Yeah, and definitely, like, I'm sure a lot of listeners would have seen my announcement on the weekend.
Yes, I was
as well.
Gonna say, you have good news coming with it.
Yeah.
I was actually quite amazed with one thing. You seem to me to be a lady that does, or a woman that does things checklist. And it's kind of the timing is like, okay, world champion, I've done the whole year. Now,
yep.
Checklist, I'm doing the good news.
You know? Yeah, well, it's not intended that way, but sometimes yeah. It seems to happen. So for the listeners who maybe didn't see my post, I announced that I'm pregnant over the mm-hmm. weekend. So very exciting.
Congratulations, even if I already said that in the real life to you, but say it publicly, congratulations.
But yeah, it definitely makes it feel like, wow, I'm in a different place now to where I was last year when I was winning that world championship. And, yeah, life has changed a lot. And
there's a lot that can happen in a year, yeah?
Yeah, crazy.
So talking about the race, and thank you for sharing this news actually with us. And that's we are happy because you've probably noticed that SBS is a lot like a family.
Yeah.
And we're very happy to add to the family at any end of the of the crew. But let's talk about the race and the championship. Marion Rosser wins. She's been knocking at the door for a while. She's been very good at it. And in Wanda as well, because the course, I had a message from Spratty just before, and hi Spratty, if you listen, but she told me this course is a lot harder than it seems. All the pavé are so rough. You
yeah.
can't see it how rough they are. And it's very hilly. Like the course was probably one of the two or three toughest ever on the World Championship skin.
Yeah, you could see the riders on their bikes, especially that cobbled section, like just no speed at all. They were just like really battling with their bikes, getting up there and with the fatigue in the legs, having that right at the end of
and the
time
heat,
trial.
The heat, the humidity.
The heat, the course was at 1,600 metres altitude, which isn't high altitude, but it still has quite an impact on the body. So like all these factors just made what, you know, on paper it looked hard enough, but I think add on that stuff and it's really a challenging course. So, I think at the same time, like riders like Marlon Russo, even though maybe you think, oh, Demi Vollering's a better climber mm-hmm. and she should do better on this course than Marlon, time trialists just have this habit of being like, okay, what are the demands of the course and what do I specifically need to work on to be the fastest here? And she would have done that. And
yeah.
So it's not surprising to me that she won.
And she's a beautiful winner in all sense because she's been, like I said, knocking at the door of a lot of results. She had her fair share of good results as well. But she's not necessarily the rider you think of straight away if you look at the course of the time trial.
Yeah, not necessarily.
Yeah. And I didn't. I'll be fair, I didn't.
Well, it was a bit difficult, I think, because the course was difficult, like climbing wise, and most of the top time trialists on the women's side, you would think, aren't really mm-hmm. like strong over that course. Like you saw, Chloe Dygert had an
yes.
absolute shocker, and I don't know whether there were other things that contributed towards that. But that was surprising that she was so, well, I don't want to say bad, but she didn't perform on this course when she's usually in the medals. But I don't know who I would have picked other than Demi Vollering.
Yeah, I was picking Demi Vollering. I was even already preparing in my head of the handing of the crowd at FDJ. You know, like they could get used to the world champion being you and then the world champion being her at FDJ.
Yeah, but and then to be. Also from FDJ, Juliette Labou, who she came fourth in Paris last year in the Olympics, and she's always done well in championship trials.
She's seventh today.
Yeah, finished seventh, so not quite the result that I like. I thought she was ready for the podium at least.
I think we all thought that. I thought that as well. But sometimes my vision is a bit blurred when there's a tricolor flag somewhere. Yeah. I'm a bit over optimistic.
They gain a few points.
Yeah, exactly. Big shout out to Brody Chapman though.
Fourth,
and really not far from Demi Vollering. That performance from Brody is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, Brody, I think, should be really proud of that. I know that there's always that sort of bittersweet feeling coming fourth, and 15 seconds she would have been running through after the race, like, where could I have made that up? She didn't receive her bike until the day before
the race.
There
was a lot of logistical issues going into Ronda. Some riders only just arrived. Like Pauline Ferrand-Prévot was delayed by 24 hours or 26 hours. Wow. A lot of riders were, a lot of logistical. That's a problem as well.
Yeah. So she definitely didn't have an ideal run in and probably didn't go over the course as many times as she could. And then, you know, you're not quite nailing your cornering or the line you're taking on the road because you haven't had the chance. So yeah, it's like that's a bit of a pity. 15 seconds is still a lot to make up.
Yes, it's a lot. Or no.
But it just seems within reach.
Yeah, yeah. And you're right. She's at the footstep of the podium.
Yeah.
And that must be feeling quite hard afterwards. But she did a performance that she could have done. And she was hard to see, actually, when you look at the race, where she could have improved. It was hard for everybody. And then she did know some job on it.
Yeah, and I think, like, she can take a lot of motivation from that. And then it's just, like, the belief now that, well, actually, I'm capable of making the podium and she can target it even harder next year and maybe might end up there. So we got to get behind Brody Chapman.
Yeah, absolutely. And then and she's fun as well.
Yeah,
she's fun to be around. She's half crazy, but in a good way. In a good way. Now let's talk about the men, because Remco Evenepoel is now three-time world champion. It's only been done twice in the history of the world championship in time trial by Michael Rogers and Tony Martin. Tony Martin went on and won a fourth one, but three consecutive wins at that level, that's only been done twice. So pretty amazing from Remco.
Yeah, really, really good. And he, like, absolutely blitzed the field, I think. And yeah, if he wins again next year, that's history.
Exactly. Yeah. He only equaled history, a bit like Cavendish equaling and then going for the 35 afterwards.
Yeah.
He actually said straight away, I got to be here next year because I got to do it.
Yeah, he obviously, you know, a lot of riders brush off that making history sort of, you know, the media love it. Like, you know, you've made history. And they're like, well, I wasn't thinking about that. I was just wanting to win. But he's actually said, no, I want to come back and I want to be the first to win four, which is cool.
When you see the performance, 1 minute 14 on Jay Vine. So we'll talk about Jay in a second, but he literally nuked the field. When, because I watched the actual race, when you look at it, he caught 45 or 47 seconds at the first intermediate check-in on Pogacar. He was written he was going to catch Pogacar, which was 2 minutes 30 ahead, and he did.
Yeah.
And what must have gone into Pog's head when he saw Remco passing him on the left? And you know, because there's not necessarily a lot of radio going during the. So, do you think the guys from the Slovenian team would have told Remco that Remco was so hot on Pogacar? Or would have lied a little bit with a bit of a white lie to keep Pog motivated and not collapse?
Yeah, I think they would have given Pog like updates at the intermediate check. Not always like who is where in the lineup, but, you know, you need to make up this amount of time. You're currently sitting in this position.
Yeah, but when Remco gets 45 seconds on like 10K
yeah.
or something like this, or 15K, I can't remember where it was, but it was quite close. If you say this to a rider,
hard
to digest.
It depends on the rider because, like, for me in time trials, quite often I would say I don't want to know specifically like the distance. I just want like enough information. You know, you tell me I'm a little bit behind or I'm a little bit ahead, because otherwise if you're told that you're smashing it, then you think, oh, I can ease relax off. Now take it easy. And likewise, if you're told that you're too far back, then you can be defeated already before you get to the finish line and feel like, well, what's the point in pushing anymore because I'm already so far behind. But if it's just like within that, you know, your hope is left alive, like you're behind but there's a possibility that you can make it up, then you'll continue pushing yourself. Like, there's a lot of psychology that goes into it.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about Jay Vine, because he's the second best rider in the world on a time trial. The course was suiting him.
Yep.
We look at the course and we know how blistering performance he had at the Vuelta as well. And he carried this through, winning two stages in the mountain, winning the King of the Mountain. So something like this for Jay Vine was very well suited, but he's a minute 14 behind the best in the world, but he's the second best in the world.
Yeah.
So where does he sit mentally, Jay Vine, with this? He must be happy with a silver medal. Like the gold medal, when you go a minute 14, probably was not attainable.
Yeah, exactly. And I saw his posts on social media, I think, yesterday, basically saying how proud he was of this second place. And you have to be when, you know, like the guy who won it was light years away. And
it's not like he came out of nowhere. He's done it twice before.
Yeah. So Jay's like the best of the rest, and he can see that he did a really, really good job and he felt amazing, and it's a ride to be proud of. The gold was unattainable, so he's content with that position, and I think that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Completing the podium is Ilan Van Wilder. Quite a good rider, Ilan Van Wilder. I saw him with my own eyes at the Vuelta when Remco won the Vuelta. And Ilan Van Wilder, the job that he's done for Remco at that time was amazing. The way he protected and helped Remco to win that Vuelta. So he's completing the podium, two Belgium on the podium. He's really coming up to a rider of his own, if you want, Ilan Van Wilder.
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise, I think, third place on the podium.
He held the hot seat for a long time.
Definitely not someone that any of the predictions would have named.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess it's like in Wollongong, what was it, Tobias?
Yes.
Voss.
Yeah.
Winning, and it was just like, where did this guy come from? And I think sometimes you just rock up to these races and you have a day like out of the blue. And I think especially in the conditions, it can really cut some top riders down and you know, then there's surprise performances. So awesome third position, Phelan.
Yeah. And what about Tadej? Tadej equaling Brody Chapman's in she's same level.
Yeah.
They're both fourth on a podium. I'm sure Brody can take some pride that she's at the level of Tadej Pogacar on the result sheet. But he's got to be disappointed. He didn't come for the time trial, but someone like Tadej doesn't line up to a time trial to finish fourth.
Yeah, and I think if it had been, I know he missed the podium by
1 second.
Like 1 second, so that was very close. But he's comparing himself against Remco, and I think if it had been close, then he would have been okay with it. But he got absolutely thrashed by Remco.
And like, overtook, come back to this image where he got overtook on the cobbles, going up the hill, and Remco just went...
Yeah, so it's not so much, I think, for him not winning, but, like, probably a bit embarrassing. Like, it hurt his ego.
And we know he's got a bit of it, like, in terms of a reaction. Not in a bad way, but he functions a lot about ego.
Yeah, and he didn't really say, oh, I felt terrible, or like I didn't read any quotes like that from him after the race. No,
he said that Remco was better. That's it. Like he did his job. He came in, and the result is the result. But Remco was like miles ahead.
Yeah,
literally.
Yeah, but I think at the same time, like he can't take this as like a foreshadowing of what the road race is going to be. I think it's a completely clean slate. It's the road race is a very different event.
So in that, and thank you for the segue, but in terms of the road race itself, do you think Remco, the battle will be between Remco probably and Tadej Pogacar, but is Tadej Pogacar coming with an inch of a revenge? Does he want a hint of a revenge in it or not?
Oh, yeah, I think
he got hurt.
Pogacar would like to beat Remco just to, you know, stamp his authority. I'm not sure if it's going to be a battle between Pogacar and Remco, okay. Actually. Like, I know that Remco in Paris was able to do the double, but it's pretty hard to win a time trial and win a road race. And I think, yeah, like the preparation for those two events is quite different. So
and let be clear as well, Pogacar always said he went to Canada because it was a perfect preparation for the road race.
Yeah,
he never said I'm prepared for the whole Kigali events.
Yeah.
He said he's ready for the road race, which is a week after this, and that week is very important.
Yep, and Remco, I would assume, would have really targeted the time trial.
But who was hurt the most by the performance physically? I mean, on the time trial, would be Remco leaving everything out there and winning, or Pogacar leaving, which we assume, everything out there and finishing fourth?
Well, I think physically they probably both put the same in, and they can physically both recover with a week.
Yeah, okay.
The difference is the mental aspect of like winning and feeling like you're on cloud nine and coming fourth and starting to doubt yourself. But I think Pogacar's had enough experience at this elite level with a lot of pressure that he can turn around from this disappointment and still perform at his best next weekend.
Okay. This road race will be so intriguing.
Yeah.
For me, it's so intriguing. From both women and men, it's so intriguing because, of course, Kopecky is not here, so she's not going to be defending her world title there as well. So it's not like it's an open slate, but you're right. It probably wasn't the route for her as well. So those two world champions will be very unique, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in the women's race, a lot of people are saying Pauline Ferrand-Prévot, but it's definitely not a guarantee. Yeah. Yeah, I'm expecting, like, Demi Vollering will be great. Now Anna van der Breggen has shown she's in good form. So do we put her back in the mix? And does that create more drama in the Dutch team like we often see?
Yes. And Demi, as much as I love her and I think she's fantastic, she must be sick of podiuming. She wants to win more.
Yeah.
She's a winning machine in a mindset. And at the minute, she's not winning as much as she thinks she should.
Yeah, I think I saw a quote from her saying that she hates not winning,
I know.
Which is quite strong.
It's a certain mindset.
Yeah.
I'm the same, but I'm more used to it.
Yeah, you can't do much about it.
No, just you live along with it. You know? At some point, you just ease up into it. Very quick mention as well about Luc Plap. He finished seventh. Yep. Australia is the only nation with Belgium to have two riders in the top 10. Good performance by Luc Plap. We were not necessarily expecting him here as well because of the terrain. It was a bit hilly for him as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, he has really big ambitions for the time trial and potentially he would have liked to be the top Australian. But the course was far better suited to Jay Vine. And I think seventh, like a top 10 in the World Championship time trial is really still a very good result, so I hope that he's happy with that.
Yeah, I'm sure, but he should be happy with that. He wasn't, I don't think, because in the interviews before he was, and maybe it's a deflection or whatever, but he was always saying, no, I'm nowhere near a favorite here, but I'm here to open the road for Jay Vine. Like, our target is Jay, it's not me.
Yep.
He was quite frank, and you know more than anyone that maybe it was deflection. That's what cyclists do when you interview them, because it's hard to take everything back. But that, for me, seemed pretty genuine, even from the word go.
Yeah, I mean, he's often like that as well. He's a generous guy and spreads the love around, so it's not surprising to hear that.
Absolutely. To conclude, great performance by Ali Anderson, 8 on the podium, top 10. That's a fantastic result for her as well. That's the under-23, the U23.
Yeah, the under-23 time trial was great. Ali Anderson had a great run. And also, while we're on the topic of Ali Anderson...
Signing.
Yeah, she's just announced a signing to the JCO development team, development team. Mm-hmm.
Do you think in that sense she's happy about this, or she would have hoped to go one step up? Because she had some great results in a lead to this end of the year. Could she be worthy of a inverted comma better team, or is it better for her to be in the development team because she now have a space where there's money behind her, there's backing, there's everything to develop her even more?
Yeah, I personally think that it's better, this process of starting off in...
How old is she?
She's...
20, 21?
Maybe 20. Yeah.
21, something like this, yeah.
And also Talia Appleton's been signed to the same team, so two Aussies stepping up next year. But in terms of, like, joining a Conti team, a development team versus the World Tour, I think it is a better pathway for them to start off at the Conti level and, like, learn the ropes of being overseas, you know, the racing program, at a level where they can actually perform, rather than jumping into the World Tour, having a lot of pressure, maybe not getting selected for many races, and then...
And having time to develop.
Yeah.
And being okay to fail, in a way, in a some of the results. It's been okay. And learning to fail a bit.
Exactly. And sometimes getting the chance to actually win.
Yes.
Which, if they go to a World Tour, they're not going to do, like, chances are you spend the first season just trying to make time cut.
Yeah.
You know, doing your job for the first quarter to half of the race and then, like, suffering. So I think... It's a good pathway, and I know that a lot of, because in the past, like, the women's racing, there's been this expectation that if you don't go straight into a World Tour team, then you're failing. But the depth of women's cycling is so much bigger now than compared to a couple of years ago that, like, it has to be this way now.
Yeah, and it's a good sign of the sport developing.
Yep.
That's how I see it. I hope that's probably how you see it as well. It's the good sign that there is now this sort of level in between that is becoming more important in making sure you don't make it too quickly to the professional level and get burnt out.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, going to the JCO development team is an awesome... an awesome Conti team to go to, because you know that it's backed by a bigger team and there's, like, job security and, like, all the things that you worry about in other Conti teams.
And perspective as well.
Yeah.
You know the others will look at you.
And sometimes they do get the opportunity to step up into the World Tour team. So it's just, like, really a secure environment, and also there's, like, the pathway at the end to be promoted. So
happy days.
Good.
Happy days. Okay, I put you on the spot now. You have to give me your who's going to win the men and women road race.
Oof.
Okay, I'll give you mine. Double tricolor. Pauline is winning, just to be outrageous as I am, but Pauline's winning for the women. And Julien's going to win for the men. I'm completely forever hopeful that thinking, Julien can create a surprise.
Yeah, I was like, which French man are you going for?
Matt Wurst? No. I'll be out there, because you've got to be bet responsibly, but I'm going to bet responsibly. Julien's going to create the surprise. Just create the surprise. Do it,
all
mate.
Right.
Okay, now for the serious one, for yours.
For me, I'm going to go with Del Toro for the men's.
Mm-hmm. Mexico, that would be good.
Yeah, just like a bit left of centre. And for the women...
I reckon the women's is harder to pick.
The women's is really hard to pick. There's no standout rider. I'm going to pick Cassia Nieuwdoma.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. For Poland, of course, former winner of the Tour de France. Well, we'll see if you're, who's right, who's wrong.
Yeah, let's
chances
see.
Are we both wrong. You know?
Check back in next week.
Absolutely. But we'll check back with you. Thank you for joining us. Stay tuned, because straight after this, we've got Georgie Howe coming with us. But thank you, Grace. That was fantastic to have you. And again, congratulations on your good news.
Thanks very much.